podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We'll look at verses 1 through 12 this morning of Matthew 23. As we've been looking at the life of Jesus and looking at the characteristics of his life, I hope you've noticed that Jesus was a show-and-tell minister. What I mean by that is that he not only told people how they should live, he showed them through everything he did how they should live. That's why he called disciples. A disciple is like an apprentice. So Jesus would take the time not only to sit down with his disciples and share the truth from God with them and tell them how they should live their lives, but he would also walk beside them and show them how to do God's will. And so he passed his faith down to them with words and with his example and his practice. This morning we come to a section of Scripture where Jesus warned his disciples and his followers and the crowds that were around him about a certain group of people, a religious people, the people that you think Jesus would be commending if he were here on earth. These were the actual ones that Jesus was warning his disciples about. So starting with Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long. They love the places of honor at banquets and most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he's in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of our Savior, but not just his words, Lord, but his life that backs up those words. Thank you this morning, and teach us what it's like to be like Jesus in humility, in integrity, in truth. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're looking at the exhortation and the example of Jesus and what they promote. Because here we have Jesus' words, and Jesus' words are important, but if that's all he did was come to tell us how to live, there wouldn't be any beef behind it, no integrity, no truth, nothing to grab onto. But Jesus did more than just exhort us and tell us how we should live our lives. He showed us through his example. So what does the exhortation and example of Jesus promote this morning? You see, Jesus was exactly the opposite of the Pharisees. So while Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, was speaking out and warning against what the Pharisees were doing wrong, we can look at his life and see that he was doing exactly the opposite of what the Pharisees were doing. So Jesus taught by example and exhortation, by show and tell. So start off by looking at verse 3 with me. I hope you still have your Bible open to Matthew 23. Verse 3 says, "So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Skip down to verse 5. "Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long." So he's talking about the Pharisees, the religious leaders here, and he talks about them. He says, On numerous occasions throughout the Gospels, we have Jesus calling them hypocrites. That's one of the names that he called the Pharisees. And here in this passage of Scripture, he's basically saying the same thing when he says everything they do is done for men to see. He was calling them actors. That's what a hypocrite is. So the exhortation and example of Jesus first promotes authenticity, not acting. Authenticity, not acting. Because while the Pharisees were all about acting and putting on a show and being something that they really weren't, the life of Jesus was about integrity and truth and being who he was down to the very core. The Pharisees were actors. They put on a great show, a show of religious obedience and pompous behavior, and they were impressive with their wide phylacteries and their long tassels. And you're like, what's a wide phylactery? Well, let me show you a picture of a wide phylactery. See, this guy's got that box on his head. Hard to miss, isn't it? Hard to miss that box, isn't it? Well, that box is a phylactery. And see, the Jews, and especially the Pharisees during Jesus' day, took Scripture literally. And some of the Old Testament Scriptures that they took literally talked about wearing such things, at least in their minds. For example, look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Now here's what they took literally. "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So if you were to walk through Jerusalem and throughout Israel during the days of Jesus, you would see people taking this literally. They had Scripture that was placed in little boxes, and those boxes were on the door frames and the gates of their city and their homes. They would have strapped to their forearms these boxes, and inside the boxes they would stuff scrolls with Scripture on them. And some of them indeed would have the phylacteries that they would wear on their heads. On their forehead, they would keep the Word of God where everybody could see it. And Jesus says about these Pharisees that they are very impressive with these wide phylacteries and also their long tassels. Got a picture of that for you too. The phylactery and the tassels, these prayer shawls that many of the Pharisees and the religious folks during Jesus' day would wear, had tassels. Now, these tassels aren't as impressive, I don't think, as the Pharisee tassels were. But the whole idea behind the tassels were, the longer the tassels, the longer your prayers. Because in the prayer shawl, they would actually take their hands and they would work on these tassels as they were praying, and the tassels would come loose from the garment, and they would get longer, and the threads would be pulled. And see, if you walked through town with a prayer shawl on that had tassels hanging down to your feet, people would say, "Wow, now there's a prayer warrior. Now there's somebody who's in tune with God." Now you have a phylactery on your head in addition to your long tassels, and you're a Pharisee. People are impressed. There is a man of God, a religious person. I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message version. He says, "Their lives are perpetual fashion shows, embroidered prayer shawls one day and flowery prayers the next." This is what Jesus was saying. Look, they're walking around with the evidence of their spirituality all over them. However, Jesus knew their hearts. He knew that they were actors. They were hypocrites. That on the inside, that spirituality really didn't exist. It was all about the outside. In fact, Jesus at one point called them whitewashed tombs. He said, "It's all pretty on the outside, but the inside is all death and evil, just like the rest of us. We're all the same on the inside." The thing is, they've prettied themselves up on the outside. The only one they're really fooling, Jesus said, is themselves. Now compare the Pharisees to Jesus. Jesus was the real thing. He was the real thing. I don't believe Jesus ever had a faked look of compassion on his face. You know, some of our politicians are very good at that. They bite their lower lip, they lower their, you know, they have it down. And let's face it, maybe some of us are pretty good at that too. We have a way in which we can speak or look to act compassionate. I don't think Jesus ever had a look of fake compassion on his face, because we're told that whenever he had compassion for someone, he acted upon it. He did something to help them. No, Jesus was just a real man of God on the inside and on the outside. What you saw on the outside is what he was on the inside. He prayed in secret for hours and hours and hours. Didn't tell anybody where he was going. His disciples had to look for him in the wilderness. Where's Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? I don't know. He got up early and disappeared. He didn't tell them where he was going. He didn't tell them what he was doing. He didn't put on his Facebook status, "I just prayed for 3 hours," you know. He didn't say, "I just had my 8-hour quiet time." But he did these things in the wilderness, apart from the people, secretly, because he truly loved God. And he truly wanted to be with God. And so he spent that time with him. No phylacteries, no long prayer shawls, just integrity and truth. Look at verse 4 of Matthew chapter 23. It says about the Pharisees, Jesus said, "They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." What Jesus is saying here is, look, we should look for sacrifice, not showmanship. Sacrifice, not showmanship. Everything they do is a show, these Pharisees, according to Jesus. Verse 6 says that they want to sit in the place of honor. They love the place of honor at banquets, the most important seats in the synagogues. This is what they're into. Wherever there was a crowd, there was probably Pharisees there also. Strutting their stuff. You know, they were like peacocks. They had all of their feathers extended. They wanted everybody to know that they were the spiritual ones in the room. Shaking the hands of other Pharisees, sneering at sinners. Life was a big show about being spiritual. Kind of like the Little League baseball player who walks up to the plate and he looks major league. I mean, he's got the uniform, he's got the new cleats, he's got the latest bat. You know, he stands up, he starts spitting like the major leaguers do. He starts taking that bat and cleaning the dirt clods off of his cleats. And I mean, he's got the black under his eyes. This is a major league baseball player. And as he steps up to the plate and you see him take his first swing, you realize he couldn't hit a ball if it were on a tee. That's kind of how the Pharisees were. See, they played the game. They played the part. They looked good. But really, there was no substance to it. And Jesus knew that. And he said, beware. Beware, first of all, of the Pharisees because they have that attitude. But beware of taking on that same attitude. Not Jesus. Jesus lived a life of humble sacrifice. It was never about showmanship. He never put a burden on somebody else's back that he himself was not willing to lift. And 100 times more. You remember that Jesus walked up to a woman at a well in Samaria, and he began to talk to her. Do you remember what her reaction was when Jesus began to talk to her? She said, "Why are you, a Jewish man, talking to me, a Samaritan woman?" See, it made no sense to her. See, she was not used to Jewish men talking to her. She was not used to Jewish rabbis talking to her. She certainly probably never had a Jewish Pharisee say a word to her or even acknowledge her presence in this world, this Samaritan woman. But Jesus sat down next to her at the well and said, "Would you mind getting me some water?" And he started a conversation with her. This was unlike anything that she had ever seen. So while the Pharisees were busy building their resumes and their reputations, Jesus was busy giving his life away. And when the Pharisees walked into a room, they let you know they were there. They sat in the place of importance and they said, "I am the most important person here." When Jesus walked into the room, you may not have even noticed him when he came in. Because he came in with an attitude of humility. Even though he was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, God in the flesh, he came in the room and his attitude was, "I am the least of all in this room," though he was the greatest. Jesus was giving his life away. Look at verse 7 in Matthew chapter 23. It says, "They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi." See, they like these titles, rabbi and father and teacher. But Jesus said, what we really should be after is truth, not titles. Truth, not titles. I like how the Message version puts this as well. They love to sit at the head table at church dinners, basking in the most prominent positions, preening in the radiance of public flattery, receiving honorary degrees, and getting called doctor and reverend. Ouch. Ouch, right? I remember when I lived in Florida, back in those days, I was a youth pastor, and I went golfing with a friend one day, and the friend went up to the head golf pro at the golf course as we were checking in, and he said, "Hey, this guy, he's the youth pastor at my church," pointed me out. And the guy at the golf course said, "Oh, well, he plays for free." That was awesome, let me tell you. I mean, I played at that golf course from time to time and walked up and hoped that the guy would recognize me, you know, and maybe once or twice I said, "You remember me? I'm Bill's friend. I'm a youth pastor down there." "Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead, play." And never had to pay to play there. I moved to New Jersey, you know, and became a pastor in New Jersey, and things changed. Because, see, I went to the golf course in New Jersey, and you know, my first day there, I was with a guy from my church, and he said something to the golf pro. He said, "Hey, this is my pastor. This is our new pastor." And I introduced myself, and the guy, the desk said, "Oh, well, he'll be $20 extra." He was joking, but do you see how it works? You see how it works? Yeah. There was a day when pastors looked for some sort of clergy discount. They used to have these things in the day. The clergy discount, you know, and most pastors say, "Well, you're stupid if you don't look for that, you know, or ask for it." But after a while, you feel stupid saying, "Hey, I'm a pastor, I deserve a discount." And that kind of got dropped somewhere along life's road. You know, there's nothing wrong with titles. There's nothing wrong with being named by titles like doctor or reverend. But to expect that title, and to use that title as if it sets you apart and gives you some type of honor in this world as compared with others, then there's a problem. That's what the Pharisees were all about. It was pride. "I am a rabbi, and you will call me a rabbi. Especially when we're in public, you will give me the honor that I deserve and that I have earned. Don't you know who I am? I am a rabbi. You will call me rabbi." And Jesus said, "Look, that's not the way it works." See, titles are just shields that we hide behind. Because we know deep inside how vulnerable and sinful and normal we really are. And so we put up our title as a shield to say, "I'm special, I'm important." But in reality, we know the truth. And Jesus, the Son of God, he knows the truth. And Jesus, when he was here in this world, he chose truth over titles. He didn't expect anything from anyone. He was transparent. He was authentic. He was truthful. He was honest with people. And, you know, Jesus didn't walk around demanding that they call him Son of God. But he didn't walk around demanding that they call him the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. People started calling him these things, those who recognized who he was. But for the most part, he said, "Shh, don't go around promoting that. Let's keep that on the down low." Because he was trying to build a ministry and sacrifice his life and give to people. He really didn't come to promote himself, but to promote the Father and the kingdom of God. As a pastor, I've been called everything from reverend to father to doctor to the reverend. It's funny how whenever they put you in the newspaper, they call you the reverend. And you read that and go, "Who on earth are they talking about?" I prefer the name Jack, by the way. It helps to keep me humble where I belong. One time I was walking around at Walmart. And this is years ago now. I was walking around in Walmart, and I was in all my glory, you know. I had sandals probably with socks, you know. I had my worst pair of shorts on. t-shirt, probably had some stupid saying on it. I don't know. I probably woke up that morning, my hair was a mess, I didn't feel like messing with it, so I stuck a hat on. You know, I was really in all of my glory, and I'm walking through Walmart, and this teenager walks up to me, and he says, "Hey, you're that church dude, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I didn't recognize you. I didn't recognize you like that." I don't know if Jesus ever walked around in Walmart. I imagine he would, by the way, because you meet some interesting people at Walmart, and those are the types of people that Jesus... I don't think the Pharisees would walk around in Walmart, by the way. At least they wouldn't admit it, because nobody ever admits that they shop at Walmart, right? No. But Jesus probably would have been there. He was not interested in a title. He's been given many titles. The friend of sinners. The lover of my soul. The Messiah. The Son of God. And he's been given those names, not because he wanted those names, but it's because of who he is. It's because of integrity and truth and honor. It is who he was. And he received the titles that truth demands he be given. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 23 in Matthew. "The greatest among you will be your servant," Jesus said. What Jesus is talking about here is submission, not swagger. See, the Pharisees were not servants. They sought to be great by pulling rank on everyone they met. They wore the clothes of greatness. They sat in the seats of greatness. They put on the titles of greatness, and they hung out with the celebrities, and they were men who felt like they were great. And this is a constant temptation for us as human beings. We want to be known as something special. Whether we deserve to be known as something special or not, we want to be known that way. And so even when we aren't special, we look for a shortcut. Another word for that is swagger. Even though we know we aren't great, we act as if we are. So, for example, what about the guy who buys all the golf gear and the equipment, all the expensive stuff, you know? He looks like a professional golfer. He walks out onto the course. He comes to the first tee. Everybody's impressed. "Hey, watch this guy. Watch this guy. I've heard about this guy. Did you see him? Wow." He steps up to that first tee, and he shanks it into the woods. Now, see, what does that tell you? Here's a guy that wants to be seen as a golfer who, well, he's got some time to build up what's really true of him. Is that what it's like for us spiritually speaking? It's what it was like for the Pharisees. They put on all the externals of spirituality. They said hallelujah as loud as they could in the crowd. Amen! Praise the Lord! They were all about that. They put their hands in the air and praised God visibly, externally. They wore all the right clothes. They said all the right words. But deep in their hearts, there was evil. And Jesus could see straight to the heart. And he says, beware. Playing a character is much simpler than developing a character. I wrote that out for you. I think it's important. That's the shortcut, see. Playing a character is much simpler. Than developing character. See, developing character takes time and effort, and it takes sweat and it takes energy to actually be good at whatever it is that you're striving to be good at. If it's a relationship with God and you're working, you're on your knees praying, you're reading His Word, day by day you're growing in Him to become more like Jesus Christ, that is developing character, and it takes sweat, it takes energy, it takes everything you have and all of your passion. But playing a character, anybody can do that. It's just about wearing the right clothes and making the right faces. There's a big difference between the two. But this continues. Playing a character is much simpler than developing character, but developing character builds integrity. See, if you really want to work at becoming what it is that you're trying to become, and you finally arrive there where there's some semblance of truth to the inside, you're not going to need to put on the outside. You know, it's the kid who's playing Little League Baseball, and he comes up, and he's got the ragged clothes on. He doesn't look like a ball player at all. His hat's on backwards when he comes to the plate. You know, he's just saying, who is this kid? And he gets up, and he strokes that ball further than you've seen a kid hit it before. And then you go, wow, who cares what he looks like? This kid's got it. He's got it. He's got the talent. Integrity is about being true on the inside and not worrying about the outside. And this is how Jesus was. He put on the clothes of service and humility. He got down at his disciples' feet and he washed their feet. He was crucified. He submitted to authority, even though he was God. He never pulled rank on anyone. It was submission, not swagger. And the Pharisees were religious bullies, telling everybody else what to do, but not willing to do it themselves. And one day, all bullies are going to be exposed for what they truly are inside. But Jesus, he'll be exposed. And those who walk like him in integrity, they'll be exposed as well in the light of true greatness. Verse 12 of Matthew chapter 23. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus repeats one of the greatest principles in all of Scripture, that the one who exalts himself will be humbled, the one who humbles himself will be exalted. He's talking about servanthood, not self-promotion. Servanthood, not self-promotion. Look at the way that it's put in the message, verses 11 and 12. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. Servanthood, not self-promotion. See, self-exaltation feels good now, but eventually it will head to humiliation. Because eventually the truth will come out that you're not what you've cracked yourself up to be. Humility is the opposite. Humility feels bad now because it means that you put others before yourself. However, it leads to honor in the end. It's what Jesus says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. James chapter 4, verse 10. The same principle. You humble yourself. You live a life of truth and integrity. You be the person that God has called you to be and leave all that exaltation stuff to somebody else. That'll come in time when you stand before God. And even when we stand before God, I believe we will stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not in our own. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. You want to lift yourself up? Go ahead. See how long that lasts. See how good that feels when deep inside you know you're not all that. It's better to lower yourself and allow God to lift you up in due time. Let's review this now. Paul the Apostle wrote perhaps the most beautiful picture of Jesus, right? Let's see if it jibes with what we see here. So Jesus is about authenticity, sacrifice, truth, submission, and servanthood. That's what he was about. Not acting, showmanship, titles, swagger, or self-promotion. So let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. So let's see, what's that attitude about? This is what Paul said about Jesus. He's in very nature God, but did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. But instead, he made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. He was made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the most humiliating death in the Roman Empire. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. This is the example of Jesus, an example of integrity and truth and servanthood and sacrifice, giving of himself completely, and then in the end, being lifted up by God. Look at the beginning of that verse with me again. This is what it comes down to for you and me. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's what the Pharisees were all about. right? Selfish ambition and vain conceit, making a name for themselves and being puffed up with importance. This sums up what Jesus taught and how Jesus lived. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. There's nothing wrong with ambition. If you have ambition, run with it. Go with it. The problem is selfish ambition, which leads to sin. Our ambition should be to praise and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. That should be our ambition in life. Not to make a name for ourselves. You know, there's a song by Michael W. Smith where he talks about the ambition of Jesus. And he said, nobody knew that his secret ambition was to give his life away. You know, here he was going through life and nobody knew that that was his ambition. What's your ambition in life? Is it a selfish ambition to promote yourself, to make a name for yourself, to become what you can be so others will say, wow, that person is great? Or is it your ambition to make a name for Jesus Christ, to put him first in all things, for others to look at the way you live your life and say, there's nothing impressive there. It's just truth and integrity. But there's something godly about that person. There's something about the way that person lives their life and goes about their business that points to God. Boy, we can learn from that. What about vain conceit? What about vain conceit? See, you're so vain, you probably thought this sermon was about you, didn't you? Some of you caught on to that. Vain conceit is when we think everything is about us. That's what vain conceit is. The sermon, the song, whatever. Everything is about us. That's vain conceit. When we think everything is about us, life is a stage and you are the star and everything that happens revolves around you. That is vain conceit. As long as you look good, as long as you are in your best light, you're interested in that. You go on Facebook and you look at the pictures and you got to weed out the bad pictures of yourself. Man, I don't look so good there. I don't want that out there. Oh, I don't want to see that one. Oh boy, those are the old days when I used to be ugly and fat, you know. And now I'm pretty and skinny. I want those pictures on there. And we go through Facebook and we say, you know, and some people don't even have pictures of themselves on Facebook. And you say, what happened? Where are you? I want to see what you look like today. And you ask them and they say, no, I can't do that. I can't put pictures of myself up. Vain conceit is wanting to make ourselves look good. Here's the deal, all right? I already know I don't look good. We already should know that, okay? That we're all sinners. We are all fallen. We all need a Savior. So what should be our goal? It shouldn't be about promoting ourselves. It shouldn't be about selfish ambition. It shouldn't be about making ourselves look good. It should be all about this, taking what God has given us, allowing Him to redeem us, and then using everything we have, everything we are, to glorify Him and make a name for Him in this world. If we're going to be conceited about anything, be conceited about God, right? If we're going to have any ambition, our ambition should be to make Him great. Jesus Christ is our example. He lived in order to love others and to make God famous. And He was put to death for doing it. But His name is now above every other name. We can learn from Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would humble us this morning. Lord, if we have come in this morning thinking that we are special, Father, if we have come in this morning with an estimate of ourselves that is much too high, Father, I pray that You would knock us down a few pegs. Lord, we need to promote You with our lives. Father, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to look around the room and be able to honestly look into the face of each person in this room and say, you are better than I am. You deserve my service. For that is the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, not to just say the words, but to walk the walk, that we, like Jesus, might be not just tellers, but showers of the truth. Thank You this morning, God, for who You are. And thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, though equal with God, was willing to come and surrender His life for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.